We're on the top of the league and looking down on the nation, and the only explanation I can find is Jose's at the wheel and he's the real deal. Yes, we're still there. The old Leicester, weren't they desperate? Oh, Kevin Chell, sorry, son. I watched 30 minutes. I had to turn it off. I said on Friday I thought Liverpool were a massive price. Still a good side, irrespective of some injuries. They are the league favourites. They will take all the beating. But Leicester were just so bad. That first 30 minutes, just hoof it up and hope Vardy runs onto it. Passing it just into... They weren't even passing it to a white shirt or a red shirt. Just passing it to grass, just into nowhere. I just thought they were really poor. I haven't watched a lot of football this season at all. And, you know, you see them up there. They beat Arsenal. They put 5 past City. I couldn't even watch it. I had to turn it. I just thought, they're just so bad. Is that the standard of the Premier League now? Is it really that bad? Awful. And Blades fans, I'm sorry, but going to take some getting out of now. I thought you were a big price against West Ham. Smelly old day yesterday, really. That got that one wrong. The NFL was a disaster. A lot of the games of football I was looking at had goals too early, or it just was one of them smelly old days yesterday. But Blades, you're in trouble. 1 point in 9 is nothing other than see you in the Championship. I don't even know how you turn it round. I had a quick glance at the league table this morning, and you're making even Fulham look like they might get out of it. But I think Burnley, obviously they've got a couple of games in hand, play tonight. I think Burnley won't go down. I think Dyche will have too much throughout 38 games to keep them up. And you've got to say West Brom, Fulham and the Blades look hot favourites at the minute to be leaving us in May. But joke says at the top, that's all you care about. You can only be as good as where you are, and we're up there. That's it. Big game on the weekend against Chelsea. Don't expect us to win, but should be a good game, hopefully. But that's what disappointed me yesterday. I thought Leicester might play some football. I just thought it'd be a really good game. I just thought they were awful. I'm not just saying it. I just thought they were absolutely dreadful. I don't know whether it got better after I turned it off, but absolute rubbish. Okay, Pod Horses. I don't know whether I'll get these all out in time, but Kempton 235 Locks Corner, 310 Kempton the Domino, and 345 Kempton the Twizzler, and 1240 Musselburgh Universal, and 3 o'clock Musselburgh Green Zone. As I say, I'm not sure whether the 1240 people will get to it in time. Interesting. We're going to move into just another Mindset Monday. Oh, could go on a bit today. As usual, I've not scripted anything, but I've got a few things ticking around in my head that I want to talk about. Who knows what goes on in my head? Who knows? Even Sam says that to me. Who knows what goes on in your head? But really interesting for me being, and I'm going to be honest, guys, I set up 2 telegrams, one where I just post the bits, and then a chat room, and I'll be honest, I've put myself in both. I think the chances of me lasting to the end of the month in the chat room are very slim. Nothing against anybody in there, but I just find it mad. I just find it is, when I do these Mindset Mondays, I think of things that have happened. I put a Brooks Koepka dob in there, and a couple missed it, and sort of, oh, I missed the prize, you missed it, move on with life, it's not going to end your life. On the Friday of the Masters, all I put was, there was a period on the, I think it was the Friday of the Masters, where Dustin Johnson went below 6-4, pretty much with a lot of people hadn't even teed off for their second round, so with 3 rounds to go, pretty much, he started well in that second round, and he went 6-4. And I just went, it was really low. I put that's whatever the result, the guy may go on and win by 8, and he did go on and obviously win well. 2.46 or whatever it was is far too low at this stage of the tournament, in my opinion. You know, it's worth considering a lay. And I think a few people did lay him. Now, you've got 2.5, 3 days to manage that position. But within like 2 hours, 3 hours, oh, I'm out at 3.2. What should I do there? And the point I made, I'll just put one line or two lines in there. What was you thinking when you went in with the original bet? And again, it's just that, oh, Ian says it's low, so we'll lay it without any real thought process. And so, that's when I start to wonder whether these things are any good or not and do people any good. Because go back to last week, if we haven't got a process, is me saying that nothing short really of just being moving a tipping service onto there, and people are going to dive in. I know there's people who want to do that, but it's absolutely fascinating. And a guy posted yesterday, John, I don't know who he is, John, but it was a very nice, wise message. And I'm not having a go at anybody. A point was made that people are different, and I've said that many times. And John put, and I need to find him. I can't, there was quite a lot of chat in here. Hold on a second. John, sorry, I should have had this ready, but I'm going back. And John put, I don't know what time yesterday, sometime, he put, a lot of you guys are far too invested throughout the day in the bets, trading or betting straight. You shouldn't know where you are up and down until you total up, which should be done once a week at most, whether you agree with that or not, whatever. But take a step back from where you are and it will constantly improve your outlook. It was the first line and the last line. A lot of you guys are far too invested throughout the day, and definitely are. I mean, it's madness, some of it. And take a step back and you'll constantly improve your outlook. And I absolutely, I couldn't have worded it better myself, John. That's exactly how I feel. I keep saying, a lot of people I still think, and it's fair enough, want to do this, just do this as a hobby, and they like to be in a chat room and there. And it is there to talk. I've got no problem. I set it up with that view in mind, but I just think it would drive you absolutely mad. It would drive me absolutely mental. And that's it. And I just look at it, and it's just lack of a plan. But it's a great psychology exercise. I did sociology as a A level. I'll move into Mindset Monday. Won't need the jingle. Just another Mindset Monday. I did sociology at A level. And part of it at the start, it was a sort of dual course, sociology and psychology, and then you split after year one into what you did. So I did a year sociology and psychology, and then I did sociology at my A-level was sociology. And I applied to Warwick University to do sociology and law as a degree, and didn't go for... My old man fucked that up, but that was my sort of path. My brother had become a lawyer. My boy's gone on and become a lawyer. That was where I wanted to go. But I had a massive interest in sociology. I am a firm believer, and I've got to say it at the outset, these are my opinions. They're not facts, they're my opinions. And the difference with me is I'm happy to listen to anybody else's opinion. If they present it in a clear, proper manner, I'm happy to talk about it, debate it. I might not agree with it. I'm not going to shout anyone down for having an opinion, despite what people say, as long as they can back it up with something that is sort of evidentiary and got some sources that make some sense. So I'm a firm believer that we are socialized into our ways of life. I'm an absolute massive believer in a baby is born, it's a blank canvas. Yes, there's genetics in there, and there's genetic things that physical and this, that and the other, but how we live our life, how we behave, what we do is for me down to socialisation and how you are socialised. And the easiest example for me is racism. You are not born racist. It's impossible, absolutely impossible to be born racist. There's no genetic makeup in being born racist. You become racist by being around or being brought up by racist people. And that becomes the norm, and that's what you take on. It's what you believe, and then it becomes cemented and you pass it on. So I'm a great believer in we're socialized in what we do, but I'm also a great believer in you can change anything. And I've mentioned my father on here many times. He was an absolute, wanker of a human being. He's let every single person in his life down, not just me, right through. And he was somebody who constantly told us as kids, and I'm one of five, constantly told us that we couldn't do anything. So I was a reasonable footballer. I had trials at QPR, reasonable player. I was a bit small, but I played normally out wide on the wing. I was quick. I was a reasonable footballer. So as all kids, you go out with a ball kicking around in the summer nights, you know, back in the days when kids used to go and play in the fields and this and the others. I'd eat my tea, be off the, you know, just sit and eat your tea with one arse cheek hanging off the chair to get out and kick a ball around. So I played, I played club football, school football, county football. And he never came and watched me, and he always just told me I'd never make it. As I got to 13, 14, because I was quick, I moved into secondary school. I moved into athletics, and I was a very, very good runner. I know you're laughing, but I was a very, very good runner. Broke all the school records, ran for English schools, good at cross country. I did sort of 400 up, right up to 5,000. Ran at some of the biggest venues, Gateshead, Crystal Palace. My mum used to take me everywhere, and I used to enjoy running because it got me out of the house, got me away from him. So he'd come in from work, I'd go out for a run for 3-4 miles. And he used to tell me there, you'll never be any good, you're never this. And I'd come home and I'd finish second in the English schools. I'd say, you know, you and there are never any good, you're never going to win, never going to make anything, wasting your time. And the only sport that he ever took a real interest in me was golf, because he played golf. So how I came to play golf was he forced me one day to go and caddy for him. I was actually going out to play some tennis with some mates. He'd finished work early on a Wednesday afternoon, came in and said, where are you going? I said, I'm just off out to play tennis. He said, no, you're not. You're coming to pull my trolley round. I've got no one to play golf with you. And I was pretty much dragged up there kicking and screaming. You know, I'd never been on a golf course before, didn't know anything about it. I think I was 12. I swung the club. This could be quite a long podcast today, sorry. I was swinging the club, just messing around, waiting. You know, you mimic, don't you? You see other people playing, and I was just standing there swinging. And to his credit, and I don't give him much credit, but to his credit, on the 16th hole, he said, do you want to have a go? Obviously I'd pulled this flipping trolley round miserable for 15 holes. He said, do you want to have a go? And I'd never ever hit a golf ball in my life, and he teed a golf ball up for me and gave me a 5-wood, and I had it about 200 yards straight down the middle. I duffed the next one, I knocked the next one on the green, and my first ever golf hole I played, I parred, and that's an absolute fact. The draw to it, having done that, if I'd probably duffed it, I'd probably never gone back again. But the draw to it was he made a 5 and I made a 4. And I thought, I can beat him. I can beat him at this. And that motivated me to get out. And I used to take the dog for a walk. I used to take a bag of balls and a wedge and hit balls for 2 hours, walk the dog running around, pick him up, go back. Eventually, I got good at it. And the underlying line he always said to me was, he quite liked me playing golf because it gave him an excuse to go and play golf. That was one thing that him and my mum used to row about. It's my mum's birthday today, by the way. Nearly forgot that. Mum, happy birthday, old girl. My mum's birthday. Oh, I'm going to get all emotional. Bless her. Yes. It'd have been, 86 today, old girl? But they used to argue about the amount of time he played golf, and, you know, he'd go out and play golf on a Sunday morning and roll in pissed at 4 in the afternoon and that sort of thing. So me playing golf gave him a sort of excuse to go up there. You know, oh, I'm dropping Ian up to play. So I became quite obsessed with golf. I'm not going to lie. I did at that stage. I became absolutely obsessed with it. I dropped the football. I dropped the athletics. And I spent all my, you know, I used to bunk off school, everything. I'd wait for them to go to work. I'd go and hide around the corner, wait for them to go to work, go back in, change into my golf gear and cycle up the golf club and play golf and practice. And he always told me, you never beat me. You'll never be good enough. You'll never beat me. You'll never beat me. You're not good enough. You'll never beat me. When we did play together, you know, Saturday mornings quite often we used to play together with a couple of other guys. And he used to belittle me in front of, you know, these were his mates, not mine, adults. And he would belittle me. Oh, he's no good. He won't be any good. This, that, and the other. Now, I was brought up in that environment for you know, 10, 12, 14 years. And my brother exactly the same. My next brother up, exactly the same. Dad never went to watch him. He was quite a good goalkeeper. He was quite a good dart player. Never went to watch him. Never took him anywhere. My mum did all the running around for us. But I grew up with somebody telling me, you'll never do this, you'll never do that, you'll never do this. That is a socialisation, because generally most people, and the human mind is very weak. The mind is, let's get that right from the start, the mind is weak. We've done fantastic things in the world. We've put people on the moon. We've created ships that are the size of land hotels that float. We've sent people, you know, all around the world, diving, all sorts of things, submarines, put planes in the sky. Glass is something that fascinates me. How people invented glass. Think what houses would be like without glass. Fascinating invention, how it's produced and done. Clever things all around us, all the time. Watches, time, everything. But the human mind is still weak. I'm still a firm believer in people, generally, most people take the easy option, the weak option, as opposed to the strong option. So in my situation, I was socialised into this fact that I was constantly told, whatever it was, whether it was my academia, whether it was my sport, which were the only sort of two things you had as a kid, you're never going to make it. You're always going to be a failure. You're never going to be any good. That is a socialisation. This wasn't the one-off. This was pretty much every day of my life I was told this, that I'd done something wrong and I was never going to be any good. The difference is I decided once, and golf really was probably the catalyst of it, once I saw I could beat him at something, it changed my whole outlook, because I thought, well, actually, I'm not a failure because I can beat you. And if I can beat you, then I can beat him and I can beat him. And that drove me, socialisation, nothing genetic. There's no particular, you know, long line of golfers in my family or whatever. It was a steady progress of me switching my mind on and making a conscious decision between I can be socialised into thinking I'm this, or I can socialise myself, and this is a key thing, you can socialise yourself into thinking like that. And I've pretty much taken that right through whatever I've done. Yes, I come across as abrupt and this, that and the other. I genuinely think I'm quite an interesting guy to talk to, and I'm quite a knowledgeable guy on many things because I do like to absorb. And I like to discuss things. I'm not a TV watcher, this, that, and the other. I do like to. I'd much rather sit down. I'd much rather come on Zoom and talk to people about different things than sit watching the TV. That's the sort of person I am. Maybe sound sad to some, but that's what it is. But the key is, I'm a great believer in socialised, and this is going to go somewhere. I promise you. That we get socialised into things, and as I say, racism is a prime example, but. Some of the key elements of that is the mind is weak. We tend to believe and take things far too easily, rather than actually, as I've said many times on this podcast, question it, look at it, deal in actual facts and look at where our sources come from and who's telling you what. So, you know, I've said last week, over the last couple of weeks, that gambling, it's got a stigma, gambling's looked upon negatively. People tell you, around you, tell you you can't win. And, you know, we talked about Anna Elliott yesterday supporting Steve, but a lot of people aren't in that situation. So they've got people around them telling them they can't win. When you then add social media into the mix, you've then got people of so I'm just going to have a quick drink because obviously this is going to go on a while. You have other people who, you know, for whatever reason, as I've said, tell you their stuff's better than your stuff, or you're doing it wrong, or this, that and the other. Why, I don't know. I don't get it, but that's what goes on. And all that then is a form of socialisation, because it's coming from multiple sources, to making you think, well, I'm a failure at this, I can't make it. And I've sort of wanted to get hold of these podcasts, get hold of everything through FTS. My main goal through FTS has always been to try and get people to do what I do. I've gone about it horrifically wrongly sometimes, because I didn't really understand the person the other side and what they and how they approach it. So I've made some major gaffes, but I've learned along the way, and I think I've got a good idea now of you know, treating people as individuals as opposed to as a group, and trying to take them individually through paths works better than, you know, in small groups, rather than trying to preach to 200-300 people like this podcast. But the key is all these things, all this negativity, all this whatever way you're socialised. So if somebody's socialised to be racist, it builds up. It's what's known as priming. You're basically primed. And I'm going to use my old mate as a A good example of this, Trump. And I know people go, here he goes again. I'm not, this is actually very conducive to what we're doing. So I've said earlier, you socialise into things. I've said that the human mind is weak, in my opinion. I think people are very weak all around, be it with, you know, if I look at gambling, it's record keeping, it's staking, it's having bets they shouldn't have, joining services. If you look at people, one of the biggest ones is weight loss. Oh, I can't lose any weight. I can't lose. Have you actually tried? Well, yeah. But how long did you try for? Well, 7 days. Then I had that bit of cake. Oh, right. So you gave it 7 days and expected everything to fall off. You know, if you're going to lose weight, it's got to almost be something you set out on a path that is pretty much continual, because, you know, how many sort of people have lost 2 stone, then just put it back on again? I've done that myself many times. You know, I like a beer. So if I want to go and watch the football and have 6-7 pints, you know, anything I've done diet-wise for the 6-7 days before kind of goes out the window. So it's, I've got to, if I want to, I'm pretty happy with where my weight is now, but it's going to get harder as I get older. But I cut all the shit of sugary sweets and stuff like that out. So I've made things, lifestyle changes. I used to love jellies. I used to sit with a bag of wine gums when I was football training. I'd eat the lot in 5-10 minutes. Paul see me at the football. I used to take a bag of jellies to every football match. And I had a rule, you can only open it once Spurs score. But when Spurs did score, they were gone in 5 minutes. It wasn't open it and add one. I open it and add the bag. He thinks I eat quick. I do. But where was I going? So the mind is weak. You see examples of that. That's my thing. And of course, there's exceptions to the rule. There's some incredibly strong-minded and strong-willed people. But I think, as a general, if you said to me, overall, do I think people are strong-minded or weak-minded? I think weak-minded wins the day, hands down. So going back to Trump, primed. I don't think, and again, this is opinions. It's not fact. This is opinions. I don't think that Trump wanted to be president in 2016. I don't think he thought he was going to win. Everything looked like it was pointing to a Hillary Clinton win. I think he was very good at whipping up a crowd. I think he was doing it to promote his brand, Trump, and build on a finance, you know, for his business and his kids. That's what I firmly believe. I think he entered it with that in mind. And as the Republican in the primaries dropped and dropped and dropped, I still think he even got to, when he got the nomination, I still think that he didn't believe he was going to be president. He then finds himself in a situation of being president. Love him or hate him, do what you want to do. You know, he stands by his record. Things he said, build the wall, Mexico will pay for it. Well, they didn't. Tariffs, business tariffs with China will pay for it. Well, that's not how tariffs work. If you've got any grasp of how that stuff works at all, the American people are paying for it. I've got a healthcare plan. There's numerous times when he stood and said, I've got a healthcare plan and it'll be out in 2 weeks. He's never presented a healthcare plan. So there's lots of things that you look at and go, and that's why I say he's a grifter. And he's done it well. Got to give him his due. He's done it well. Obviously, he's got up through those 3 years. You know, first thing he did, attack the media. Those things have happened. But all he's been doing all this time is priming his base. So he's primed his people that the media, don't believe the media, don't believe the media. He's, you know, he invented really the phrase fake news and built it up to what we call it today, a phrase I use myself. As we got to the start of this year, and he started pretty much sort of December last year, January, he started mail-in voter fraud. Over 1,000 tweets from his account saying mail-in voting is fraudulent. Bear in mind that all his family have done mail-in voting. Mail-in voting is fraudulent. He's got to a stage, where he just kept on and on and on and stood at the podium, you know, behind the presidential seal, said it numerous times as well, did TV interviews with Fox News and said it. All that's led to where we are today. It led to the fact that I firmly believe that he knew he was going to lose. I firmly believe all the polls, you know, he can come out, they've got to show bravado. He's not going to stand there and say, I'm going to get beat. They show this bravado, but everything's telling him, you're not going to win this. But by priming his people to believe that there was mail-in voter fraud over a long period, 10, 11 months, they now don't believe anything else. They've been socialised. Their mind has basically been told. This is so instantly, and it was even before the night was over, he came in and said, we've won this election. Well, I've got more votes, but it's been rigged. And everybody now who's been primed in that and doesn't want to look into anything believes it. Now, do I think the election is rigged? Absolutely not. Do I think there's been some fraudulent voting? Almost certainly, yes. I'm sure there has. I'm sure there are in our elections. It's not all going to be on one side. There's going to be fraudulent votes found, I'm sure, from somewhere else. But he sowed the seed of doubt to enable him to do what he's doing now by priming people mentally. And this is all about mindset. It's not about gambling. This is about mindset. He's built that mindset up that even now, I mean, there's people on FTS who I know are in the Trump camp. I've got nothing really against them. A couple I'd really like to sit down and have a talk to about it, I'll be honest. Because I think a couple of them are really intelligent guys who I really value their opinion, and it sort of pangs me to see where they're coming from. Do I think that this election should be... I don't care if they count every vote again, because I think they should. A Georgia recount, I've got no problem with it. I've got no problem with it because for the democracy of the world, somebody here is going to be wrong. Either he is massively wrong, in which case you have to question what was he doing and what were his motives. And I think I've got my own views on why he's doing it. Or if the election is rigged, and rigged to the extent that he has lost by what he's lost, then the whole world is in trouble, because we could never, ever, ever trust a democratic election again. There's no coming back from it. There's no, oh, well, we've sorted that this time. That will be cemented in history, undermining every single election that takes place anywhere. We are talking about a country, not Zimbabwe, we're talking about the US of A, a country that has held itself and most other people have held up as the bastion of freedom, democracy in the world. That's what we're talking about. And we've got one guy, who primed these people in January, and he's primed this mindset all along, primed it all along, and got to this stage now where the people he's whipped up, they cannot see and won't even entertain anything else. They won't even entertain it. If he loses a court case, oh, it was an Obama judge. Posting Fox News pictures doesn't make evidence. Rudy Giuliani, if you want a nut job lawyer with creosote dripping down his face, standing up and making accusations doesn't make evidence. I've got no problem if they count all the Georgia votes and say Trump won this. Of course I don't want the guy to be president. It's nothing to do with a Republican. I just don't like the man. I've made that blatantly clear. I cannot bear him. I think he is one of the most horrible individuals the planet has seen. And everything, I don't like self-serving people, I don't like bullies, and that's what he is. He's both of those things, and I think he's a fundamentally dishonest individual. But all that stuff there that's gone on, it needs sorting out, because the rest of the world is looking. And if they find in Georgia that he's won, fine. He's obviously hoping that the count number is different, because then he can start to point to other states and say, well, if they got it wrong there, look, I bet that one's wrong and that one's wrong. Do I genuinely believe the thing is wrong to the extent that he's won? Of course not. I really don't. And I think he is doing it for leverage. I think he's doing it for his own sake. But my key to it is he's primed people. And as I say, there's people I'm happy to talk to about this. He has primed people from a long way out into voter fraud. So if you flip that round now and you say somebody's in your ear telling you that in January, you can't win at gambling, 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 can't win at gambling, can't win at gambling, can't, don't care what he does, can't win at gambling, can't win at gambling. And that's all you get. You've only got two choices. You either fight against it, and that's what I did with my father telling me I couldn't win anything, or you just fall into it, weak-minded. Oh, well, yeah, no, you're probably right. And once that starts, you then can't give it your best. And that's the key to it. Once that position starts, you can't then give it your best go, because always in your mind is, well, I can't win at this. I've always been, since that sort of day, and that really was the trigger, that day, first hole of golf I played, my life changed that day. You know, two certain things in your life change your life. My mother dying, God rest her soul, happy birthday. My mother dying was a massive change for me because it just made me really look at how sad a life she'd had. And I thought, I'm not doing that. You know, I was going down the same road, mundane job, not enjoying it, getting up there. And that gave me the drive to do this now. But going further back, when I was 12 years old and beat my dad on one golf hole, that probably made my change in my socialisation, in my thinking, in my mindset, to actually, I can do this. I can do this. And it is that, you know, the word prime is something that happens in psychology. It's not something I've just made up. People can be primed, you know, and that ideally, you know, we live in now in a world where with social media and disinformation, it's easy to prime people. You only need to look at things like Brexit. You know, we've had it all, Brexit, the Trump election, the second Trump election, and now with COVID. People have put themselves in camps. They've been primed to believe that. They go confirmation bias, and I've mentioned before, they only follow people who've got the same views as them, so it gets hammered on all the time, and they don't want to entertain anything else. All they end up doing is getting angry. That's why we see the rioting in cities in America, because and even in London, because people don't want to sit and have a discussion about it and actually entertain or listen to somebody else's point of view. They've socialised, going back to where I started, they've socialised themselves into, this is how it is, and you're not going to change any of that, because I don't want you to. And that can be racism, it can be gambling, it can be anything that you want. That is a process that we go through. All of it can be changed by changing how you look at things and how you change your mind. And last week, I sort of started on that path of saying to you guys, write the positives down. Forget the negatives. You know, talking about missed penalties and missed goals and this, that and the other. Write the things down that go for you. You know, I gave the example a few weeks ago of somebody in the group when it first started. Oh, I just lost to a 98th minute. Forgets the 98th minute winners. Only focused on the losers. So last week I said to you, right, let's get a spider graph. Write your strengths and weaknesses. I don't know how many people are doing this. I don't know whether I'm talking to myself. I keep saying it. I only know if people give me feedback. And rate them. Bin the noise, which is a real key thing. Bin the people, bin me, bin whatever you need to bin to make this work for you. Because ultimately, the only person who can make it work for you is you. I can help you. There'll be people, Luke, Chrissy can help you with Excel. Art can help us with stuff. Other gamblers who win may be able to help you with little bit snippets, but still it will come down to you. And how you do that and how you run yourself into being more positive. Look at now, have you been primed? Have you been socialized, primed into a certain way of thinking? And you can do it yourself. You can talk yourself into these things. It doesn't have to be somebody else. If you sit there going, every losing bit, I can't win. Oh, I've done this again, I've done that, or I don't want to miss out. If you're doing that, you're priming yourself all the time, socializing yourself into that. If you... now you've got your graph that we did last week, hopefully. You've identified what you need to work on, what to bin. Now it's the process of, right, let's get a structure around that, around what it is that I actually need to do to move me on. And I said last week, it's about you. Forget me, forget anybody else. It doesn't matter, to move you on. And one of the great things, and I've seen some fantastic improvement in people on FTS, you know, in stuff I do doesn't win all the time, stand still, have bad goes, but the first thing is to accept it's a process, accept it's going to go for a while, and look at what you do badly and work on that and improve what you do well. So everything starts to improve better. And I should be able to quote this, and I can't remember who I got it from, but it was when I was reading a speech years back, and I just can't remember where I saw it or who got it, but it was to do with a Washington basketball coach, I think, and he sort of said that he either did a speech or wrote something. I really, you know, I when I do this, because this isn't mine, I try and it's bits I've taken out of it that I like to try and quote who told me it, but I generally can't remember the guy's name. But the sort of bottom line of this article was that none of us want to be a failure. None of us want to be a failure. And the problem is we don't know what success is or how to be successful. And in gambling, most people take success as a quick win, money, not actually what the life and everything it can lead to. And the success of, you know, having been someone who's had a lot of money go through his hands, won a fortune, spent money that I shouldn't have done, you know, buying cars, this, that and the other over my younger years. Success isn't about having a massive bank account and a massive home. It really isn't. I know as you get older, I know people may think it is, but you know, I only need to look at how many footballers and sports stars get in trouble. They've got all the money, but you can see some of them just aren't happy. It's having everything in life. It's having every single item of your life. And you know, Dave really opened my eyes to, as I said before, to goals and looking elsewhere. But it isn't. It's for me, it's becoming, and I've worked really hard on this in myself, is to become the best person you possibly can. And I know there's people who don't like me, and there's people who think, you know, a lot of this is how I am. I do rev up. I don't fall out with people. You know, of course there's people I do fall out with. My father, there's a few people maybe through FTS. But there's a lot of people that I'll say what I think. That's the difference with me. I won't back down from anything. I will say exactly what I think at that time to whoever it is. And I couldn't care if it was the Queen. I will tell them exactly what I think. But that doesn't mean that I hate them and I'm not going to talk to them for the rest of my life. It just means I wanted to say that at that time. Have a beer and move on. But I've worked hard to become the best person that I can be all round. You know, and I've said it last week, fatherhood, husband, when we have pets, helping guys and people on FTS. I put a tremendous amount of time in it, you know, unpaid. I don't ask for money for it. I put a tremendous amount, you know, just this week making videos. I didn't have to make them. I try and do it to help people because it's me being a better person. So that's what I think success is, being the best person you can be. And to do that, you have to form a good, strong, proper mindset. And this guy gave four things, and I just wish I could remember his name. Gave four things, and one of them is one that I've covered across some of this. Learn to associate with proper people. And that's, you know, one thing that if you surround yourself with negativity, you surround yourself with idiots, you surround yourself on Twitter with numpties, and you get involved in that, that is going to take you down that road. There's no getting away from it. That is the socialization of it. It will take you down that road. And times it can be hard to break those associations. It really can be hard, but times you've got to be selfish and say, that's what's best for me. To break that is what's best for me. The second thing he said was that to be successful, it's the old KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Most people who are successful do things simply. And I'll give you an example again from the chat room yesterday. We have got, and this guy's going to be listening and he's going to think I'm calling him out. I'm not. You can do whatever you like. But I couldn't get involved in it. I just sat reading it. I can't get involved in this. We have got the halftime correct score lays. They now come into a period where they're going to be more games because there's football's it going. They've won 200 points pretty much over the last 5 years, not had a losing year. They go out every day. If there's bets done, if they qualify, it's a bet, bang, occasionally. And we had one yesterday, you get a loser. Charleroi at Ghent, Charleroi lost yesterday, I think broke about level, had 6-7 bets with that lost and all the others won. But this guy was trying to change it in the chat room. He said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And I just thought, you're making something that wins really complicated. I understand why he was trying to do it. I'm not digging him out necessarily because it's good to investigate and do things. But it was just an example of, he said, what do I think? He did put in there, what do you, if you have seen, come any thoughts? And I thought, no, I haven't, because I just want to keep it simple. It is just simple. And if you if you put 100% in and do it fairly simply, you'll get 100% out. If you put 20% in, you'll get 20% out. And if you don't really put any effort in, you'll get nothing out. But look at how you do it and try and do it as simply as possible. You've got to develop the will to want to win. You know, I am, and again, Dave of FTS Dave, he's got young kids. I was brought up in the era where winning was what was important. So when I did run a race at school, I didn't just want to win. I wanted to lap them. We ran 1500. I'd try and lap everybody else in those 3 3/4 laps. I would try and win. I'm one of them. If you're 4 ahead, get 5 ahead. I've got no mercy, no sympathy. Get as much ahead as you can. And we've sort of developed into a world now where it doesn't matter whether, what's the saying? It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. It's the taking part or whatever. I think it's a foolish way of thought. I just think it's a foolish way to be. I think you've got to want to win. You've got to develop the will to win. I think it's difficult to be a winner if you don't develop that will to win. It's amazing that all these people who say these things, then I think the guy said it in his talk, then cheer on their teams at countries at the athletics, and we're out dancing in the street on Super Saturday. Why? Because the guy won. Because we want to win the medals. We're not out cheering because Mo Farah finished sixth and he took part, do we? Nobody's out in the streets then saying, hey, Super Saturday or whatever it was then. Winning is important and you've got to develop a will to win. You've got to want to win. And in gambling, it is all you've got as your evidence of being any good at it. You've got to want to win. And that, again, is something you can develop, socialise yourself to, depending on who you're around. And the final thing he said was, nobody can coach you. I work very hard. I think anybody who listens to this, my devotion to the podcast, seeing the time the FDD sheets go up, there'll be people who say I work too hard. Certainly, you know, as I've said before, wasted time when my kids were younger. Now my circumstances are slightly different. I don't have a day off. I genuinely do not have a day off. I can't remember the last day of my life that I got up and did nothing. Even, you know, when I went to Vegas last year, doing the podcast, putting the football out. Do I want it? Of course I do. You know, I've struggled and I've sort of said, had numerous people come on board with me. And my goal was, I want to be able to go to Vegas or San Diego or Australia and see my sister and not worry about anything, not worry about FTS, not worry. But it is a one-man band. And a lot of what I do, only I can do. And not because people can't do it, but because I've just got a way of doing it that I trust. And I've got to let that go. So it's a sort of catch-22 of I've got to trust somebody else to do it and that it will be done. And occasionally when I have asked people to do things, they fucked it up. So that sort of, again, socialised me into thinking, well, they can't do it. But I'd love to go and have a day off. I'd love to be able to just say, I'm not going to do anything today. I haven't got to do the FDD process. I haven't got to do any football. Dave's doing it all, putting it on the website, whatever. He thinks that I don't. I would love that. But I've, again, conditioned myself to put a lot of effort in to get that reward. And that is the thing. I can't put the effort in for you. And no one else can. And if you're not going to put any effort in, and I go back to what I said last week about the TV and this, that and the other, but people who, you know, I see so many people who don't really succeed in what they want to succeed in. I'm not just talking gambling. And then I look how they spend their time. And I appreciate that everybody wants to do as little as possible. But to get yourself to a stage where you do as little as possible, there's got to be somewhere where you put massive effort in, where you sit and even in this game, if it's for a week, trawling through Excel, whatever, to get something out the end of it, you've got to put effort in. And I'm going to come to this guy. I said it in the week, at the weekend. I've got a guy who is been with me for a long time. And I went to his house 5 years ago. And he's going to be listening to this, and I'm having a Zoom with him tomorrow. And and we went to his house, and he had a reasonable job, but he turned on his computer, and he had a tab open, and I'm not exaggerating. He'll say, he'll probably tell me I was exaggerating it, but I'm thinking from memory. I reckon he had 25, 30 tabs open, all betting services, betting gambling sites, doing everything. That's 4 or 5 years ago. And I sat next to him in his house and I said, this is fucking madness. You cannot possibly win doing this. It's fucking mental. And that's exactly how I spoke to him. I said, I'm fucking dismayed because everything in my head said, this is an intelligent guy. He's got a good job in a bank. He's a clever guy. What the fuck is, what happens when he gets in front of a gambling computer? That's how I got, I'm getting annoyed thinking about it now. I have liaised with him in numerous ways over the last 5 years. Met him again. I know that he has given up work. Don't know whether he got a nice redundancy package, but I think okay. Lovely people. Him and his lady, lovely people. I had a Zoom with him last week because he wants to move on and he's got to the stage now he's not working that he wants to make this pay. So I said, okay, can you send me some emails of what you've done? I've given this guy 5, 6, 7 hours of Zoom time over talking about modelling, talking about how to look for stuff, this, that and the other. Of my own time, completely unpaid, I've sat and given this guy time to do that. I've had numerous chats with him. I've answered emails, this, that and the other. So he sort of said, can we have a catch up? I'd like to get this sorted and move on. International break, blah, blah, blah. I went, okay. So I asked him to send me it. Last week, I got in. I said, what have you been doing? He said, no, I'm not going very well. And he hadn't sent me. So I said, send it to me. What are you doing? And I could see he was hesitant to send it. And that's why he hadn't sent it before. And I sort of said, look, if we're going to move this, I need to see what you're doing. I'm going back 5 years ago, I had the conversation, fuck me, what are you doing? I was so depressed because he sent it to me while we were on the Zoom call. He basically has taken every single macro that I've ever produced. He has gone through, and fair play to him, I'm going to accuse him of not putting any effort in, but this took some effort. He has gone through every single system that somebody has put on the forum, everyone, written down who it was, what the criteria is, and he's betting every single bit of it. Everything. 60-odd different ways across, what, 100 games a week? Everything. And I'll go back to what they're there. There's no effort. Just wants, just 5 years on, doesn't want to put any effort in himself. Oh, he's got a system, I'll bet that one. He's got one, I'll bet that one. I mean, this could be some fucking pissed up junkie in Wetherspoons posting on that forum. I don't know who they are. I don't go on there. And I'm no disrespect, and great for the people who have posted. I'm not, but just, I'll do his. He knows nothing about them, and he's just built a list of stuff he's betting, and he wonders why his life ain't going anywhere. Just betting everything, all any system that anybody puts out, I'm going to bet it. And it depressed me. I actually said, I've got to take a break. I said, I can't even deal with this. I'm going to have to speak to you. I need a week to compress. And you need to go and have a look at what you're doing. And we'll do this again next week. And we're going to talk tomorrow. But it's, if you want to be successful, and if you want to be successful in this game, it's got to be up to you. I can help you. Other people can help you. It's got to be up to you, and you've got to put effort in. There's got to be some logic to what you're doing. There's got to be a process that you follow, and there's got to be effort put in. And I've had this conversation with Suggsy. I've said, I just don't think you put the effort in. Again, never fall out with them. I'm honest with people. But I go back to what I say. These people have got time to play golf, watch TV, do whatever it may. but they can't take the time and make the commitment to put the effort into things they're telling me that they want to be good at. And that's what annoys me. If you don't tell me you want to be good at it, do what you fucking like. But if you want to lose weight, fucking get up in the morning and do something about it and lose weight. If you want to be good at this game, fucking get up in the morning and put some fucking effort in like I do. Put in 50, 25% of the effort I put in and you might get somewhere. I'm getting annoyed because this guy's annoyed me. I told you, see. But again, this is a pretty prime example. I'll have a go at him again tomorrow because as soon as I see his face on Zoom, I will want to have a go at him and he knows it. But I'd never fall out with him. He's a lovely guy. But I'm going to say my piece and get it sorted out. But I'm just saying my piece for his benefit. One, I'm riled up about it. But two, I could just say, fuck off. It's nothing to do with me. If that's what you want to do, do it. But I want him to improve. I want him to get better. I want him to turn this round and make some, you know, he's made some money, but I want him to make decent money. Anyway, that's it. You get out of it. You know, Gary Player said it, didn't he? The more you put in, the more you get out. The more I practice, the luckier I get. And that's exactly how it is. I really have gone on today, guys. It's 50 minutes. I do apologise. I hope in there is some sense. But the key things are, you know, putting effort in, socialisation, defining success, looking at what you want as a success and building it and looking at what you do now, being more positive, cutting the shite out your life, and look at, you know, again, how you've been primed or socialised into thinking certain things and start to question it. Start to ask yourself and say, hang on a minute. That's all you're going to say, hang on a minute. And as I say, if anybody wants to come on and talk about any of these things with me, I've had a few of you ask to come on the pod. I will get back to you over the next week and get some dates. So thanks for that. But anybody, you know, it'd be great to have you on and discuss this sort of stuff. Don't feel I'm just going to shout at you. I will. I might disagree with you, but it doesn't mean I'm right. That's the key. It doesn't mean I'm right. But there you go. So enjoy your Monday. Nothing, and that we do have midweek football. So I'll be back tomorrow with stuff for the football, etc. Thank you for listening, as always. Hope you get something out of it, and I'll be back with you. I was going to do staking. I'm going to do that next week now, because this got sort of on a bit. I'll do that next week, but just another Mindset Monday. Enjoy your day, and I'll be back with you next week.